God, that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind, and I didn't have to be worthy. If I had to be worthy, I would have never succeeded in receiving the Lord as my Savior. Being worthy for a sinner is not the object, but letting him make you worthy is the object that we're looking to. Because salvation is not in man, it's in the Lord. It's his salvation, not ours. If we had saved ourselves, he wouldn't have had to come and be on, and die on the cross. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, or the 14th proverb, if you'd like to turn there. Going to bring a message to our mothers this morning, and the title of it is, Are You a Good Mother? Well, who's to be the judge? God's Word. God is the judge. His Word is what we are governed by, or what we should be governed by. It should be our guide. And so let's look at God's word and see where we shape up at. Proverbs 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. A good mother is a born-again mother. She's been mindful of God's mercy. Look at Psalms 103 and verse number 17. Psalms 103. And verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. She has received Christ as her Savior. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So a good mother has been born again. She has been mindful of God's grace, and that's how that she became born again. How that she was born the second time, that spiritual birth and becoming a child of God at that time. She's received Christ as her Savior. She has a life worthy of her calling, or she lives a life worthy of her calling. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4th chapter and verse number 1 says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Mom, you've been called to be a mother. The Lord's blessed you with children. And so therefore, you need to walk worthy of that calling. Well, how do you determine how you do that? Again, the Word of God is where you find how to walk worthy. Because listen, God knows all. And he not only knows the past, the present, but he also knows the future. And so therefore, what he sets forth is best no matter what the circumstances or situations are. What he sets forth. Listen, a good mother's devoted to her husband. Boy, that's foreign today in our society, isn't it? This decision is seen by her reverence, or rather by her subjection to him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So the wife is to be in subjection to her husband, that she might be able to present a righteous life before him, that if he's lost, he might get saved. Well, listen, I know a lot of women years back who have stayed in church, been faithful, kept their kids in church. The husband's out running around acting like a teenager and not growing up and maturing. And the wives have stayed with him. And eventually, by her staying with the Word of God, the husband has been won. Or he's been brought either to salvation or he has brought to faithful service to the Lord. This devotion is seen in her reverence to him. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 33. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." And by the way, Dad, if you love your wife, you're going to respect her. You love your wife, you're also going to reverence her. If you love your wife, you're going to treat her like she ought to be treated and not like a slave. There's some men that think that they need to treat their wives like a slave. I know this is not Father's Day, but you can't preach on the mother until you get the father in line as well. An abusive husband. You know what my feeling is? He ought to get done to him the same thing he's done to her, or he's doing to her. Need to reap what they sow. And I'm certain the Lord will see to that. We may want, or I feel like helping him out once in a while, but that's something we need to leave to him. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Wife, being a good wife, being subject to your husband and reverencing your husband, that's God's plan, that's God's standard. It's far better than the plan and standard that we have in place today in our society among our own people. Much better. God has established an order in society. He has established an order in government. The powers that be are ordained of God. He originated a system to keep man under self-control. He established a family, and he set an order in that family. And you can't improve on the order that God established. And that order was that the husband was to take the responsibilities of the overall household, and then the wife would be under submission to him. In other words, she was created for him a helpmate, and she's to help him to maintain and control that family and that house. Give them the things that they need to control that old nature that they have. So, her devotion to her husband is seen in her faithfulness to him. Look at 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband." Let not the wife depart from her husband, but to be devoted, to stay with and be content. But there again, the husband is to love the wife. The husband is to care for her. And he's to love her like Jesus loves his church. And he laid down his life for her. The husband is to love his wife and be willing to lay his life down for her. Willing to sacrifice his wife, his life for his wife. And so that it goes both ways. Her devotion is seen by her faithfulness. And a good mother loves her life or her home life. She likes to work with her hands. Look at Proverbs 31 and verse number 13. Proverbs 31. Verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is willing and likes to work with her hands. She prepares the provisions for her household. Verse 15, the same chapter says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her maidens. She wants her home life to count for the Lord. Look at Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen, she wants her home life to count for the Lord. The way that that's to be done is to stay faithful in study of the Word of God and in prayer and feeding the spiritual man, and then determining and purposing in the heart, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Mothers need to come to that point. Whether dad does it or not, it makes no difference. Mom, you are the one that's the anchor for those children. You're the ones that will form and fashion those children. The father has somewhat to play in it, but the mother is the most important one. And if she will follow the principles of God's word in raising the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when they get old, they will not depart from it. Well, listen, dad, you got a responsibility as well. But listen, the mother is the main one. Understand this. Our society was a whole lot better off than it is today. Women had respect. Women, all, even the scoundrels showed respect for women and for their mother. But today we have no respect for anybody or anything. As a matter of fact, I opened the door for a lady and waited for a couple minutes for her to get through the door before I did. And she looked at me like I was crazy. "There's something wrong with you." She should have been opening the door for me, was the idea I got from her. But listen, we need to go back to that. And by the way, we talk about the world wars and the women had to go work in the factories while the men are fighting the war. Okay, that's fine. But the women need to come back home. They need to come back and they need to live this standard that God has set forth. It's his plan. And by the way, when we work his plan, everything turns out all right. As a matter of fact, those who do are blessed of the Lord. At any rate, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made up your mind? No. Don't make up your mind. Purpose in your heart. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Nothing is going to interfere with that. That's our purpose here. That's our purpose here. A good mother loves her children. She loves them because they are obedient to her. Look at Colossians 3 and 20. And of course, you heard in the devotional what it takes to see that the children are obedient to you. Colossians 3 and verse number 20. Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." It doesn't say, "Children, obey your parents in things that you want to." It says, "Obey your parents in all things." No exceptions. No special provisions. But obey them in all things. She loves them because they honor her. Look at Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Exodus 20th chapter and verse number 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother. And by the way, the Lord doesn't ask us to do anything. He doesn't promise a blessing. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. That the days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He promises long life for children who will obey their parents, and a good mother raising the children right, then they should be obedient to their mother. She loves them because they're a heritage of the Lord. Look at 127 of Psalms and verse 3. Psalms 127. Verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children, if you have children, you're blessed. You're most richly blessed. Sometimes I realize dealing with children and raising them because of their nature, it makes us a little disgusted and discouraged, and we don't think that they're a blessing. But I'll tell you what, they're a blessing in your old age. Cover my wife's ears. But she's raised our children, and our children and our grandchildren so far are a blessing to us in this day. Now, they weren't when they were growing up sometimes, but they are today. Why? Because as a preacher and as a pastor, I was involved mostly with other people's troubles and problems and helping them to do the things. And who was it at home that was taking care of the kids and raising and training them? That's who it was. That's why it's so important for mothers to be home and be a keeper of the home and take care of their children. A good mother dresses according to God's standards. She does not dress to catch the eye of men. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Dress godly according to his standards. She dresses in modest apparel. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy 2 verse 9, the Bible says, in the manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Well, why is that important? Because listen, we need to understand Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 25 or 27, I believe it is. He said, when a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart already. When a woman dresses to attract men, she's causing them to lust, and she's partaking of that adultery. Yeah. Now, in our society, take them all off. No problem. Anything's accepted. Take a rope, tie it around you, and that covers you up enough. Well, it doesn't, not according to God's standard. If you'll remember, Adam and Eve took fig leaf aprons and put them on. And when God came along, he took skins and made a cloak out of them, made a covering that covered their bodies so that we wouldn't have that problem of looking and lusting. Now, I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't know if a woman looks and lusts or not. I got a hunch maybe they do. But either way, we ought to dress in order to please God and not to attract the opposite sex. That's what it boils down to. And mom, you need to be conscious of that. You need to be aware of it. You need to set an example for your children. She has an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. A mother that's boisterous and arrogant will raise children to be the same way, and they'll cause her a lot of grief. First Peter 3, 4, and 5. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So a good mother dresses according to God's standard. She does not dress to catch the eye of men. She dresses in modest apparel, and she has a meek and quiet spirit. That's asking a lot. How can I fit in? We need to fit in with God, because we're going to deal with him eternally. Doesn't matter whether we fit in with people today. Now, what I'm presenting, I'm giving you scripture for. So don't tell me it's my opinion. All you have to do is read it for yourself. There it is. And you can accept it or you can reject it. But whatever you do, you're not rejecting me or you're not accepting me. You're rejecting God, because it's his word. And we're all going to answer to him, and we're going to answer according to his word. A good mother is an honor to her family. She is a crown to her husband. Look at Proverbs 12 and verse number 4. Proverbs 12 and 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness of his bones. And you'll notice the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. Look at verse number 28. A good mother is praised by her husband. Proverbs 31. Verse number 28 says, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Then in the first part of that verse says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So a good mother is an honor to her family. She is a crown to her husband. She's praised by her husband. And she's called blessed by her children. Listen, you cannot lose by following God's order. You cannot lose by keeping God's standard. As a matter of fact, you fail to do it and you go with the world and the ways of the world. You raise your children up according to Dr. Spock and not according to the book of Proverbs. You're going to wind up with children that are unruly. You're going to wind up with children that can't really function in life when they get older. Even if they don't cause you a lot of grief when they're young, they'll wind up doing it when they get older. Can't get away from your raising. and bless your heart. Mom, you are the one that has the responsibility to set the standard and to raise your children according to the Lord. Dad, you're in a position to see that she has the things she needs to do that. You provide her with the love and the care that a husband ought to provide to her, his wife, and then she will willingly be under subjection to you. And by the way, a wife that is forced to be under subjection is not under subjection. She's in rebellion. A wife who does it voluntarily to please the Lord, then she's truly under subjection to her husband. That's God's order. That's God's standard. God doesn't force anybody to be saved. He doesn't force anybody to serve him after they're saved. He doesn't force anybody to love him. He doesn't force anybody to do anything. When they don't do what God would have them to do, they suffer the consequences. Yeah, but he doesn't force them. Husbands, there's no forcing the wife. You be such a man and such a husband and such a father that your wife will willingly submit to you, and that your children then will willingly submit and be under subjection as well as obedient to their parents. Most of the time, children that are really disobedient and rebellious, it's a result of the failure of the parents to set the example before them. We got an epidemic in this world, an epidemic of selfishness. We got an epidemic among God's people, even. It's an epidemic of selfishness. It's all about me. I mean, I've counseled with people and thought, well, but my and I needs to be put aside. And we and our ought to come into consideration. Most of all, we ought to remember that we need to be under subjection to the Lord. In order to be that way, we have to do it voluntarily. We have to be willing. And those that are here this morning that are not saved, you need to understand the Lord's not going to make you come to him. He's done everything he can do to make it possible for you to do so. He wants you to come on your own. You that are saved, he's not going to force you to serve him. But he wants you to follow him in scriptural baptism, become a member of a New Testament church, and give him honor and glory. Well, how do we do all these things? We go right back to John the Baptist come preaching repentance. Jesus come preaching repentance. The apostles preached repentance. And at one time he winked at ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. The starting of that is repenting, turning from with all of your heart, from self, from sin, from selfishness, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just read about humility, a woman in a meek and quiet spirit, in humility. Men in humility. I get frustrated because everywhere in our society, people doing things and they make a mess. And then all of a sudden they'll do something right and they're patting themselves on the back, jumping and shouting and rejoicing and seeing how great they are. Good grief, these 10 things they made a mess out of, and this been accomplishing one doesn't amount to anything. What about the damage that was done with all of this? Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to come to Jesus, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He didn't leave anybody out. Repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. Believe that he is God who came in the flesh. Believe that he, as a man, suffered, bled, died, was buried, and rose again. He did it for our justification. He had to do it because of our sin. We didn't deserve it, but that didn't matter to him. He loved us so much that whether we deserve it or not, he did it for us. We don't have to deserve it. He said he didn't come to call righteous, but he called sinners to repentance. You need to come, put your faith and trust in him. And you know, God's people live their whole life serving themselves. And when death comes, they're so sorry and so regretful that they didn't serve the Lord. And what really torments them and bothers them is the fact that they didn't serve him. They're going to face him, but they didn't serve him. He's given us everything we need for that not to happen. Moms, follow this, no matter what the cost. Because you know what? Jesus paid a greater price than any of us will ever pay so that we could follow this, so that we could have happiness, so we could have contentment, so that we wouldn't be convicted and our conscience bother us, but that we could rejoice in him. Let's stand. Invitation's open. If you're here this morning, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. You need to come to Jesus. What shall we sing, brother?
118, that songbook.
As we sing, why don't you come? Come purposing in your heart. Come surrendering, letting him have his will and his way. Thank you for your attendance and attention. Remember, evening services at 5 as we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Packer, conclude our service, if you would.
Father, thank you for this time, Lord, to be here in your house and Father, just thank you for your son, Lord, that he saw that for you yet, to accept the Lord that's coming with you, right? Just ask you to go with all the mothers.